Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And I'm what that fills my soul. That's what He's doing now. Something happened. He touched and made. He touched me. He Jesus, touch me. Do you believe that tonight? And I know. Oh, it's happening already. Something happens. I see the glory of God. He touched. One more time. From the depth of your heart. In every area of your life. He touched me. He touched me. Oh, He. And I know. I your sisters, your brothers, everywhere in your family, something happened. Something happened. Woo! Shaka baba baba. One more time. One more time. He touched me, Lord. He touched me, Lord. He touched me. Oh, Jesus, touch me, and I know, Jesus, 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 yeah, something, 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 and now, I know when He Kabayabasha. Can we sing it one more time? One more time. Oh, He touched me. He every area of our lives. Oh, He my family, my business. Oh, I oh, inside, outside, something, something, something happens. And now, now, I know He touched. Oh, Rabbi Akabaya, something, it's happened. And I know He's touched and made. For something has happened, because now I know God has touched me and made. I say to you that something has happened, because now I know He has touched and made. Kindly sit down. I knew from the very morning that I have nothing so much to share tonight, but a burden so strong in my heart. And I'm very sure that in less than 30 minutes I'll be done with this burden. And we'll go praying for the sick. Everyone that is sick, you should be healed by now. But should in case you are not yet, probably before the service is over, the teaching is over, it should be gone. But if it's not gone, we will lay hands on you, and by God's special grace, it's going to be gone. So I began to think, please give me your ears this evening. I have not so much to share. I was thinking, and I didn't want to be biased at all. I asked myself certain questions, being the happenings around from time past. And I said to myself, in all honesty, if I were a father of faith, who probably was not privileged to have access to the New Testament revelation, like our generation have today, by the Spirit, to a very fair measure. If I were a father of faith, I would doubt the competence of this generation. And somebody may say, why? I mean, the younger generation. If I were in their shoes, I was just weighing. I said to myself, I think I would doubt too. How do you explain a generation who sought the Lord from the depth of their heart, even though they had minimal revelation? Like, compared to us, what they had as revelation is small. But they sought the Lord from the depth with the whole of their heart. And they found God in the fairest measure. And I'm pondering and wondering that the Bible said this generation will see the move of God greater than the past generation. Yet, every time I'm plugged onto Facebook and Twitter, any form of social media, I see people referencing everything back to the old generation. And I'm wondering, I want to talk about the power of God. We reference the old generation. I want to talk about the move of the Spirit. We reference the old generation. And I'm wondering if they adapt. But I can't say they adapt, because compared to what is happening now, they are way better. Are you here with me? So you see people talking and they reference people like Blessed Babalola, Apostle Babalola, Blessed Bishop Archbishop Benson Idahusa. You see people reference Blessed A. Allen, John G. Lake. You go on calling all the names, they reference them. Yet the Bible said the glory of the latter shall be what? Greater. But we keep on referencing. Because, you see, like I said, if I were a father, I would doubt. Because if I compare my generation to this generation, I remember in our generation, probably as a father, for instance, we used to sought the Lord. Sometimes we go to the bush, we go to the mountains, we go to solitary places to pray. But in this generation, what people think to be an affirmation for understanding of the New Testament is comfort. You see all the wrong lifestyle. Our generation wants to try to make sure gospel is signed with the world. Meanwhile, the Bible says friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. But you see our generation trying to make sure that they balance the world and the church. Are you observing that already? Imagine as a father of faith, you see a generation coming to take the baton from you. The generation, the men in the generation, I'm not trying to condemn, please follow me carefully. They are putting on earrings, not earring. And some of them put on nose ring. And all we know as a proof that they're the new generation is splitted hair, dyed hair. And the ladies, you can go on and see the dressing. But you see them saying they are the next generation that will see the move of God. How many of you will be father of faith and agree that that will be true? None of us. And that's why you see like that they talk like they'd have little or no respect for the younger generation. If someone is foolish, you go and start insulting them as they are insulting us. But to be very sincere, it doesn't seem like we can fit into their shoes. They brought solution, real-time solutions. Are you listening to me? Meanwhile, the Bible spoke about new wine. Yes, they have their own biases. They have their own biases. And the reason why they doubt whatever we are bringing to the table is because they are not seeing competence. You know, the Bible says, this sign shall follow those who believe in my name. And sometimes they are wondering, with all this talk and talk and talk, look at that person, get him healed. And when you are done talking, you couldn't do nothing. And one of the old fathers, you know, I was watching one video of one of our old fathers of faith. He said, he was preaching and a couple came in with their child, 3 years old, and crying. They said, let your God raise our child back to life. We saw your billboard and we believe our child should die. Let your God. And the protocols were trying to help the couples to go out. And he told them, leave them. They said, let my God. It's not me that will heal, that will raise this boy back. Let my God prove himself right or wrong. He took that three-year-old child, while preaching about the fathers of faith in this nation, and placed him on his shoulders and kept on preaching. While he was preaching, the boy sneezed, came back, and he gave them back. He said, old folks, are you listening to me? When we come and start ranting, if anyone be in Christ, which is true, without a demonstration of the Spirit, why should they believe that we know what we're saying? Even though they don't have the privilege, they didn't have the privilege to see into this revelation. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you tonight? Very important. So it's a wake-up call to our generation. That's what I have in my heart as a body this evening. A wake-up call. Because you see, if they are the ones saying it and we are not seeing it, it will look as if they are just against us. But when you sit down, the Holy Spirit is explaining exactly what they are seeing, their biases, then we understand that we are the problem. I was watching one of the PFM meetings one time, and Padibuye was invited, but he couldn't make it. And since he couldn't make it, they had to live stream him, you know, they had to do a video of him from his end. And he was talking to the younger generation. I saw such humility like I've never seen for a very, very long time. He said, younger apostles, in his words, younger prophets, evangelists, and the bishops. You know how he talks. He said, when I hear you people talk, listen carefully. He said, I am surprised. When I hear your revelations, my mind is blown. I'm wondering, is it this Bible that I've been reading for years? Now, he's not trying to condemn the revelation yet. He said, they are true and they are profound revelations. And they are excited and privileged to hear these revelations. He said, but the truth is this, there is something from us that you don't have. And that's what I think is lacking for your generation. And I suspect you can't carry out the agenda of God. Kept on speaking. He said, in our generation, we like to pray, even though we knew not so much. He said, but your generation, they don't like to pray. They are not even respectful. He said, some of you insult us from your podium. You are not even respectful. And he mentioned a few cases. Many pastors were crying. He said, we are not saying that. I thought they were even ignorant of these things. He said, we understand. If you observe some of these fathers of faith, with time they stop some of their certain practices. Have you observed? You just observe they stop certain things. Meaning they are listening. But the dangerous part is the ones that don't have the impetus to insult somebody for a wrong revelation. This is how the Holy Ghost taught me years ago. He said, firstly, Simon, is any of the fathers of faith against me? I said, no. They are not against me. He said, no. Yeah, I said, no, they are not against you. He said, that means they are for me. I said, yes, they are for you. He said, and some of them were not privileged to see into what you are doing. So right now, how you get to them is not by insulting them. It's by honoring them. They say, if you know how to wash your hands, you what? Eat with the elders. Listen, our younger generation are losing out because we are becoming worldly with time. And nobody is talking, you know, because if you seem to want to talk, people will now come against you. As we're talking now, if you mention certain things, people will just come against you. You know, I spoke about men wearing earrings. If it was somebody else, maybe on Facebook, some people start insulting self-righteousness and the rest. But what will make you sit down as a man, look at everything you can do for Jesus, and decide to bow your ears? Everything you can do for the Lord, you decide even as a man. Boss your nose. Not even a man, say even as a woman. Look at all the things you can do for your life, your family, your children, and say, no, come and put this thing in my nose. There's a certain guy I want to have. What to make somebody to come to that point in their life if it's not worldliness? Are you here tonight? It's not a matter of argument. With this, we can't see revival. I studied revival through time. Let me show you just three revivals I saw. There was a revival that happened in New York in the year 1857. September 23. His name is Jeremiah Lamfield. Jeremiah Lamfield. It started as a business launch hour prayer meeting. Just a business launch hour. So while they are in business, he would just call them and they will have a break of praying, you know, and thanking the Lord. And suddenly there was kind of a famine in the land, an economic shutdown, kind of a problem with their economy, and people were not working so well again. You know, they had to close down certain factories and the rest. People were not going to work, and the only thing that remained at that point for people to use to while away time was that prayer meeting. It grew so much in strength. It started just like 30 minutes. They would pray, and when that happened, they kept on praying. It grew so much in strength from New York to England that in one week, I want to be sure, that's why I checked. In 1 week, 20,000 people were born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost. 20,000 people, not 20 people. 20,000 people in how many weeks? 1 week. It started with sincere prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you. Small Bible study. 20,000 people. And we went, it cut across England that at a point, listen carefully, please. The Holy Spirit is doing something in our heart. At a point, there were in certain cities in England, no need for police station anymore. Police station were closed because crimes were not being committed again. Can you imagine? That in a city, there is no police station because no more crime. So police officers were not going to work. They locked down police stations. But the revival started by a simple prayer. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Another revival. Before I talk about that one, I'll talk about the Waste Revival. It was via the man of God. Oh, I'm forgetting his name. Who remembers that revival? What? Let me just be sure. Because we're on air, let me not say something that will bring trouble tomorrow. Hallelujah. His name is Evan something. Evan. Why am I not seeing the name? Evans George. Hallelujah to Jesus. God used him to start what we call the Waste Revival. How did he start? This young man was around 26 years old. And he was sought in the Lord. He was seeking the Lord from the depth of praying in tongues at that time. And at a point, he now saw about something about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he started praying that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And they were in a church like this. And as they were praying, the Holy Ghost started coming upon people. The crowd grew so strong. Look at Sheraton like this. It's like filling the whole of High Level. People were coming from different parts of their world for the revival. Are you listening? It started by how many year old boy? 26. Miracles were happening. People were crying. People were repenting. On their own, as they were praying, people were just crying and repenting. The Holy Ghost came so strong amongst them. I'm not indisciplined. I didn't really record the miracles. Or the miracles I recorded, I don't want to share them from this revival. But I'm trying to show you some of the biggest revival that I've ever hit. A whole town. For this revival, Waste Revival, they said court, judges, they had to close down. because there was no case to judge. He purified the whole city. He said he was praying one time. He saw the hand of the Lord on wheels. So he knew that God wants to do something mighty in the city. And he asked the Lord what to do. The Lord told him, keep on praying. Did you see something between prayer and revival? Are you seeing the connection? That there was no revival that happened without prayer. I seen something right now. Every major revival that ever hit the earth is connected to prayer. You see, the common denominator for manifestation through the Old Testament to the New Testament is prayer. You see, the only difference is that our information, the revelation they had at that point and the one we have right now are different. And our own is higher. The only way to quicken this revelation into manifestation is by prayer. And the reason why we are supposed to have a higher manifestation is because we have a higher what? Revelation. Are you here, somebody? Very important. Now, one of the greatest revival that hit the earth, apart from this waves revival. So phenomenal. If you read about it, it's bigger than what I'm explaining right now. I'm being conscious of time. Is the Azusa Street revival. I call it the biggest revival that has hit the earth yet. People of God, listen to me. As you are listening, the Holy Ghost will be moving in your heart. I couldn't stop listening to the miracles. While I was preparing, the protocol saw me. I had to keep my phone to hear the miracles. There's a woman I like to hear from. I had to plug into a channel on YouTube to hear. She knows how to say the story. I had to plug in to hear the stories of the miracles that Jesus did. Funny enough, if you were William Seymour, you would have given up on Jesus. Do you know this man of God? He heard the Lord telling him, he said, go to a certain city, go and receive. They told him to come and pastor a job. You know, they do it like that there. They can employ you as a pastor and be paying you. And when he prayed, the Lord said, go, I've given you the job. He went there, he preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. They drove him out from the church and locked the door. First service, they pursued somebody that the Lord led. He was so sure God said, go there. They drove him. Pursued him because they were not used to praying in the Holy Spirit. You see these three revivals I called. That's how they were in the order I called. Firstly, the first one that happened where? In New York in the year 1857. That's the first one. The second one, the Waves Revival. This one happened after the Waves Revival. The Azusa Street Revival. Are you seeing what is happening? You know, for the Waves Revival, they were conscious of the Holy Spirit. The first one, they were just praying. And people repented. But you know, that's not enough. Because he said, I'll pour upon all flesh my spirit. He said to the disciples, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you've been what? Induced with power. If what they had was enough, Jesus would have told them to go. Are you people getting? I'm trying to explain. So whatever they received in the first revival was so wonderful, but it was not going to last so long. Follow me, people of God. I want to hit something tonight. It's not going to last so long. And so after a time, people continued in sin. And God raised another man called Evans George. He said, shorten the Lord. And for him now, he prayed the Holy Ghost would come upon them. So the Spirit upon came upon people. They were crying and repenting. But remember, we needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost according to the Bible. So, for a season, for a time, there was purity everywhere. People repented. And the next person that came saw from the Bible. He learned from his teacher in school of theology that we ought to be filled. The teacher proved the theory that they had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not even the teacher was filled with the Holy Ghost yet. But he said that's the claim of the Bible, that everybody, and the argument in the Azusa Street Revival was that gave birth to the Azusa Street Revival was this. They said some people are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and some people are supposed to pray in tongues. Does this sound familiar? They think some should. William Seymour says, not some. Everybody is supposed to. He said, because at the upper room, everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. So he said, if everybody was filled and praying the Holy Ghost, it means everybody, God wants. Now, if God wanted some, even in the upper room, it would have been some. But in the upper room, it was what? Everybody. He said, tarry there. What you have is not enough. I need to induce you with the Holy Ghost so that when you go out there, you can show my glory. You can represent me properly. But he told them, don't go. Tarry in Jerusalem. Wait for me. Meaning you cannot live for God. You cannot represent God without the Holy Spirit on your inside. So God had to raise another monk called William Seymour. And he started praying 2.5 hours every day. When he heard that, he was so convinced that hit him. He wanted the infilling presence of the Holy Spirit. He wanted to be full of the Holy Ghost. He started praying 2 hours every day. This is what we receive immediately after service sometimes. But that was the first time you were seeing that in the Bible. Then they were praying. Now, in a certain place, he gathered some of his friends that heard the same lecture. They were like 8. And while they were praying, guess what happened, people of God? 7 of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, except William Seymour. He was not filled with the Holy Spirit. He that wanted it more than everybody, probably arranged for the meeting, was the one that was not filled. Does this sound familiar? Sir, they don't pray for me very well. I know they pray in tongues. I don't know why. Don't give up. You know, some people, they have laid hands on them. Receive it. Your friend now fell. The one you even invited to church. She started praying in tongues. You that have been coming for like 2 months, you are still not praying in tongues. That's what happened to William Seymour. But he didn't give up. God still used him to beg the revival. He didn't stop. Then, as he was praying alone, somehow he got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost alone. We don't need to lay hands on you. I had this friend who was from Orthodox in 200 level. Anytime he comes to the fellowship on campus in BSU, he would say, "Brother Simon, I'm not convinced. What one is that? What is that one? That's not how to pray." And I like him so much. He's a wonderful guy. I didn't allow that thing to make me to hate him. He can call me anytime there's assignment. Because I wasn't so good in the class in terms of character. And I repented before I graduated. I was missing lectures. And you are not supposed to do that. Are you listening to me? You better repent too. If not, you will not like the results. So he will call me anytime there's a lecture. Call me anytime when they give assignment. In fact, he's almost starting to do it. Let me say, he was doing it for me. I will now collect and print. But I repented. So he was such a nice guy. So even though he didn't agree with tongues, I liked him. Because at least we have some benefits as a brother. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I always convince him, listen, this is not... So he was wondering, this guy is not going to have a problem. He would talk down tongues, I would still be hugging him in school and be playing with him and be great. I was never interested in proving to him. It was one time the Holy Ghost has to speak to my heart. Say, is it that you just want to use this guy to finish BSU? Or you want... You know, so I had to be conscious of the fact that I had somebody close to me. And listen, all of you that are like that, God will ask you. You have this friend you are very close with, this sister, brother. They are still living a wayward life under your roof, under your watch. Do you know God will ask you? You say, God, I don't talk to them. I don't invite them to come to church. That's not where you're supposed to stop. That's the first place to prove your fire, your Christianity. Pray for them till they repent. If they don't repent, you are not grown yet. Precious, are you hearing me? They are not repented. Pray for them. You talk in Capcom, another day go. Enter 2 hours. If they change, your Christianity is true. Charity begins where? At home. By God's grace, everybody in my house is born again. It begins where? At home. Are you listening to me? Where was I in the story? Huh? The only one that was not filled, and personally, okay, I was talking to about that, my friend. And one time, he engaged me in the fellowship. Serious question. I knew the question, so I was avoiding. I said, "Don't worry, we'll talk." He said, "Sir, no, I have a question." Look at everybody. That was the same thing this man too was doing in the fellowship. While I teach, they will raise their hand. "Excuse me, sir. In a sermon like this," and he said to me, "must everybody pray in tongues?" I said, "Hey, God." I said, "I thought we'd talk about this thing. We're going to see now." He said, "So no, answer me." He wanted me to answer in the public. So I said to him, "Everybody ought to pray in tongues." Because the Holy Spirit came to the disciples. All of them were filled, including Mary. You know, I saw one Orthodox, something on his neck like that. It's believed with the Orthodox. So I knew he was when I mentioned Mary, it would shock him. I said, "Even Mary prayed in tongues." He said, "Hey!" I said, "Yeah. She prayed in the Holy Ghost. Because she was a human being. And the Bible says we all have one access to the Spirit, to the Father by the Spirit. So even Mary had to pray through the Spirit." He now looked at me. What is this guy saying? He said, so you mean I will pray in tongues? I said, yes, you can pray in tongues. He said, but they've been laying hands on me. I have not been praying in tongues. And of course, if I lay hands on him too, you will not pray. His heart was blocked. He was ready to fall my hand. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He wanted to prove me wrong. So I didn't bother. I said, no problem. One day the Holy Spirit will help you pray in tongues. So he just smiled and said that he felt like he has disgraced me in the fellowship. And after the meeting, while we're going, the Holy Ghost came upon me so strong. And I looked at him. I said, you will pray in tongues when you go and sleep. He said, me? I said, yes. I said, just open your mouth to pray. Maybe in the night, maybe in the morning, but this night will not pass you by. He said, really? I said, yes. We parted ways. He went home in the hostel. Woke up in the night to pray. Nothing happened. I'm sure he was excited. Woke up early morning before GST to pray. As he opened his mouth, I don't know whether he was praying what that their prayer or something. As he just opened his mouth to call that Jesus or in the name, he stopped. He said people rushed into the room. They wanted to know what was happening. He was just they had to call me. I said he's praying in the Holy Ghost. I had a neighbor. This neighbor can mock. Oh my God. If he sees me, he's happy because he will talk. My seeing me is just joy to him. The baby in his womb will start lifting for joy. Very excited. Every time he sees me, he'll say, Pastor, sit down. So why will you tell me that the Orthodox and the Pentecostal Orthodox argument? I was tired. You know, you don't want to argue, but they push you into the argument. So you look, say, I agree. And one day, his wife gave birth. Every night, the baby is crying. And of course, I have sense. I'll not hear your baby. If I had known that was Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm sure I would have run away. But I did not know. I paid for a house there. And I'm sure God did that purposely. As I entered the compound, the first night, I wanted one of my friends from Living Faith came to greet me. While we're talking, I said, there are activities in this place. He said, what is it, prophet? I said, I'm seeing a woman in charge of lesbians. He just put his hand on his head. He said, Pastor, they are my opposite neighbor. I said, Jesus Christ, is this where I came to? He started laughing. He said, Pastor, that is where God. In fact, when I saw that you rented house, I didn't talk purposely because I knew God sent you. Now, he's a pastor. He didn't believe God sent him. He's saying it's me that God sent. So I said, no problem. When he went, I felt so bad that night. I said, God, if I had known, I don't want problem. I want to face my fellowship and academy. I'll start a problem. They were a cult, a demonic cult. And so that night, as I prayed to the Holy Ghost, and funny enough, do you know the song I was listening to that night? It was from Theophilus, the man of God. As I prayed, I had one speaker like that. Do you remember that speaker? That one speaker that has anointing. It goes far. I had one speaker, one amplifier, one wire. One speaker, one amplifier, one wire, one laptop, one bed. Spring bed and curtain everywhere in the house. Nothingness. Then reading table. That's all. Then bread to eat and water to drink. That's what the Son of Man had at that point. And so I played Theophilus. He was speaking in tongues and singing. And I began to pray in tongues. I didn't know I was scattering things. The next morning, there was a meeting on my head. The landlady said, I will leave if she ever hear the sound of my tongues. Because her house is just like from here to where we kept Jen. That's where her house is. She said, if I hear one tongues, I will give you your money. One woman like that, she's very big. If she was even a little bit close to 40, I would have not been have a problem. She was not even close to 40. She was second wife. She was shouting at me and warning me with her hands like this. A man of God that was looking tiny. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Warning me like this. I said in my hand, what if my hand stand like that? Spoke. Anyhow, I said, if you try that, the ladies were behind. There were many ladies behind. And some guys that were saying, yeah, man, he has to stop that, man. I looked at all of them. One now said, his prayer is affecting my prayer. Can you remember? His prayer is affecting my prayer. And I opened my eye. Paul was with me that day. He said, which kind of prayer are you praying that prophet's prayer is affecting? Now, before all of them came, see how God would do it. One came to my house. She knocked. I opened the door and said, Prophet Samuel, yeah. He said, yeah. Say, yeah, thank God. Yesterday was the first time I prayed for several months. Please keep on praying. You revive my prayer life. I was excited. Before I went downstairs, a company gathered. And we're having meetings. And warning me and saying my prayer is affecting their prayer. In fact, one said my gospel music is affecting her prayer. So, I remember, you remember Pastor Charles? He was there. I called him because I don't know how to talk. Before I talk. You know, those days, I don't talk because if I finally talk, heaven will scatter in my belly. So, I don't used to talk. I'll be quiet and I'll call people to be talking for me. So, I called Pastor Charles. He was very close to me that time. And he's still close. I said, come and see what's happening. I said, that's the woman. This is me. This is the problem. Represents me. So he went to the woman, madam, what is the problem now? He's praying, he should enter his room, he should kneel down, close his eye, nobody should hear him. And Pastor Charles started laughing. He said, this one, nobody should hear him. Madam, it's not possible. This one will pray out loud, you will be hearing him every day. So madam, we cannot stop prayer. Me too, I was inside, I said, we cannot too. Guess what she said? I will give him all his money to go. She didn't even have the money. So I said, please give me the money. That's where our minds scatter. You give me the money? Yeah. You mean it? I said, yes. She thought I would say, please, ma, don't give me. That evening, me and Pastor Charles went to look for a house. We got a better house. In fact, I wanted the money more by force. And that was not it. I'm not going to share some of the story, dirty stories, dirty things that happened there. I can't share some of those stories. But I kept on praying every night. I remember one day I was coming back from the school after evangelism with Pastor Charles. And they were doing party. Listen, party. My opposite door neighbor was doing party. Party scatter. A lot of party, they broke alcohol bottle. It entered inside my house. You know, from the door, just a little bit, it entered inside my door. So as I came, they said, in the car, Pastor, they come in and off the music. Man, I off the music. So they wanted to off the music because they don't want me to say they are making noise and I am making noise. But I already was at the door. So I said, no, continue. No, I have no problem. Let everybody make their noise. And I got into my room. That night, I was charging. You know when the Bible says, and the Lord was brooding upon the face of the deep. I charged. I played Theophilus. I put him in my ear. Well, let him enter inside my spirit. I wanted to rise like thunder over the building and strike the building down. They break bottle in my... And you see, the way the devil is so cunning. One of the ladies there is somebody I know. She's friends with somebody I know. And I saw her there drunk. I said, ah. So I did like I didn't see her. She said, I know you saw me. She was coming. She opened the door. As she entered, I went close to the window. He said, why are you running away from me? I said, no, I'm not. He said, I'm okay. So this is where you stay. I said, yes, this is where I stay. Okay, I just wanted to say hi. I said, yeah, I've heard you. Thank you. I'm not trying to claim self-righteousness. I knew what Satan wanted to do. She was just looking at me. Before I entered, she was the one shouting and doing, hey! And they sent her to come to my home. So I said, please, I want to pray. And when she went out, I hit the door. I said, thank you, Jesus. Whack, whack. You know what people wear when they go for parties, right? I was praying to God, let Pastor Peter not come to my house that day. Because imagine he came to my house and saw a drunk lady with one kind of skirt like. He said, ah, prophet, what's happening now? You serve, you did game. You know, I had an experience one time. My younger sister, the second one following me, came to my house. She just got admission. And of course, it's my sister. Why should I drive her from my house? Entered my house, talked, did food, blah, blah, blah. We joked. She went to her house. In the evening, murmuring in the compound.
So somebody came to collect matches. The borrowers are always everywhere. And I was giving the matches. He said, Pastor. I said, is there any problem? He said, Pastor Jare. And why are you doing like you don't know? I said, what is it? He said, Pastor, look at everybody. You think, what are we talking about? Look at us. Today we are happy that you are a monk. We are wondering whether you are a man. I said, what do you mean? He said, the lady that cooked was... Pastor Abeg, I can't shout. And I drew him back inside the house. I removed our family picture. Thank God I had it. Open from my phone. I said, compare please. Who is this? If you don't understand, look at the face. Is this not the one you are seeing here? He said, yeah. It's my second sister. Her name is Mary. Let me call her now. Mary. Shebi, you just left my house. Yes, Brother Simon. Did you hear that? Who are you to me? Ah! I'll be your sister now. Thank you. I let it go. He said, Pastor, we thought. Oh yeah, let me tell them. So he took the same energy. I went to tell them. People just want to make mistakes. Do you know many people want you to fall? Many people. Have you seen somebody, when I went to the club, when I was drinking alcohol, they were just sharing alcohol. There was love in the club. What were they sharing as love? Alcohol. That's what you call love. You go out there. Have you ever seen anybody that smoke Igbo say, come and take 1 billion? But if they are smoking Igbo, they say, my guy, how far? You want? George. Brotherly love. When it's bad thing, they like to spread it around. Not good things. Because misery like what? Companion. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah to Jesus. And my neighbor prayed in tongues. Now, I was saying about that is baby. That night when I prayed, I didn't hear the baby's voice. So in the morning, I was waiting to say apology. I had my apology planned out. He knocked my door. I said, I'm very... He said, Pastor, we thank you for your prayer. I said, I wanted to say I'm sorry for me. So which noise? Pastor, for the past 1 month, my baby is crying every night. But yesterday you were shouting, she slept off. And we slept off too. Say, Pastor, please be praying like this every day. I thought I was making noise. I didn't know I was making sure the baby sleeps well. And he now was laughing about tongues. And I said to him, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, I looked at him and said, today you will pray in tongues. He looked at me, today? I said, yes. He woke up in the night. I called his name. He said, I did not call his name. He said, I said, Shadrach. And he stand up trying to look for me. He said, he just started praying. He came in the morning. He said, Pastor, I was just doing. I said, Shebi, you said you can't pray in tongues. He said, Pastor, I'm praying in tongues. That's what was happening with Will and Seymour. He was telling the church, we ought to pray in tongues. They were like, it's for some people, blah, blah, blah. And when he preached in the church, they threw him away. I told you. They threw him away. When they pursued him, one of the church members was compassionate. He said, I don't have anywhere to stay. This is my first time in the city. She said, follow me. Carried Will and Seymour to her house. Her and her husband, of course, gave him one room. He stayed there. She said, okay, anything you want to do, even your fellowship, your church, you can start in that room. William Simon started praying every day 2.5 hours. He had a culture. He had a box. If he wants to pray, he will put his head inside his box. He doesn't want to see light or anything. I'm not saying some of you should go and buy a box. That was his culture. It was working for him. He will put his head inside a box. He doesn't want to see light. He will pray till he hear God give him an instruction, then he will remove the thing from his head. Do you know why even Azusa Street revival was happening, William Simon was inside a box, his head? I'll tell you the miracle he did after he removed his head from the box. Well, let's be moving. Are you enjoying the story? Then suddenly, the Azusa Street revival broke out. Every day, 2.5 hours, people were joining, the family were joining, people were coming. He convinced them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is how God even did something phenomenal. There was a pastor called Pastor Kathy at that time. She was praying with her women. You know, they were trusting God for the infilling presence. And it was not coming. They didn't know how to get it. And William Simon needed money to rent a bigger space because the room has been filled. They needed a bigger space. So the Lord told him, keep on driving. Just be driving. Stop here. Back and knock this door. When he knocked, people were praying. As he entered, he knew what the Lord wanted him to do. He said, do you want the infilling of the Holy Ghost? They said, yes. Then he touched them for a while. Blah, blah, blah. He said, God is doing a work in my place. And he wants a hall. Let's get him a hall. And they gathered money and went to get a hall for him. And that's how they became part of the move of God. Are you listening to me? We're praying every day. Every day. Till one day. Somebody say one day. A revival broke out. At the top of their building, an uncompleted building, fire literally will be burning. This is not a lie. Hold it apart for me. It's not a lie. It's very true. Literal fire. One will come from the earth, one will come from the heaven, and they will collide. People will see it literally and be calling this fire service to come. Fire service will come and they will not see the fire. They'll see nothing. Miracles were happening in their abundance. I'll mention like five of the miracles for you. The first one was somebody that came could not hear. No, could not see yet. And they were seen, of course, that's normal. But one of the... Now, this was not William Seymour. William Seymour's, why these things were happening, where was his head? In a box. In the same hall. It was members that were doing this thing, not William Seymour. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Ghost. One of the men called... Now, one of the profound things that happened was that a lady who could not play keyboard, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, as the power of God hit her, she went to keyboard and started playing keyboard. Never went to a school to learn keyboard. As she was playing, and the power of God, now, the man of God, not a man of God, a member, he said one of the profound miracles was one that did not have eyeballs. That he was praying for everybody and he understand that God should heal this one. But the one that did not have eyeballs, he looked inside, black. You think it's a lie? They gave birth to a child. My mother was telling us a story. The woman went and made mouth in her village. She gave birth to a child without eyeballs. Without eyeballs. Fine boy. Flora is there. She can tell you. So, without eyeballs. The guy is almost 20 now. No eyeballs. If there was eyeballs, then we can understand. No eyeballs. I've not seen the child. They are telling me the story. Hallelujah to Jesus. Guess what? The eyes, he said, as they were so sure it will happen. As he laid hands, this is how they do it. They just put their hands. They don't want to see what God is doing. They cover it. And when they cover it and open it, new eyeballs. So he couldn't hold it. When they were recording the miracle, he had to tell them his own. He said, I have one. Eyeballs. Because the newspaper was recording the revival, the miracles. It was such a mighty move of God. A mighty move of God. He was a black American. Are you listening to me? Yes, glory to God forevermore. One of the astonishing things with this man of God used was that one of his eye even had a problem. Before God started using him, one of his eye had a problem. He couldn't see one of the eyes. You are complete. Are you seeing how you are perfect? You are okay. To show you that God does not check anything to use anybody. If you are available, Ketun Kuma will say, God is not looking for golden or silver vessels. What is he looking for? Yielded vessels. Yielded vessels. People that will yield. Lord, use me. Here I am. Use me, Lord. The other miracle was a young man that came from, he was in the US, yeah? But he was being trained for mission work in India. He was supposed to travel to India. His name was Fox. People would not hear. The move of God was so strong that they had healing techniques tied to people's name. You hear false healing technique. Let's use the fox healing technique. What was fox healing technique? He will blow into a deaf person's ear. If you are deaf, you do. When he does, then he will wait. He said, according to him, he must hear a sound. But so in the spirit, he will just put it. When he hear pop, you see she can hear. And when you go close, the person is shouting, I can hear. I can hear. The fox healing technique. He healed almost. Now, one of the outstanding things that happened was that they went and brought people that could not hear. So when they brought them, the person that trained, you know these people that will be doing sign. He was in the meeting. He now was complaining, why did you bring these people here? That's my job. Outside this job, I have no job. He brought the whole class. I mean, almost the whole class, something like that. And Fox told them to hold their hands. When they held their heads, forks went to one person's ear. And when he heard, he said, it's done. Everybody's eye opening. His name is Fox. He was less than 20 years. He was almost, I think, 19 years about being prepared to go for mission work in India. See, God has raised people up. Are you listening to me? He was not up to 20 years. There was another one called Kathy. Oh my goodness. Kathy would see people on wheelchairs. She just sat down. That was the pastor Kathy he met. Remember? Wealthy woman. She just sat down when she was seeing everything happening. I think this was like the seventh miracle. I can't remember all of them and the order at which they happened. She would see people on wheelchairs. Nobody has been touching them. Members were, Amaka would just feel, peace would just feel like, people were just feeling like praying for people. Some were praying in tongues, you know, they were in the spirit. Some that we could, were done praying would look out. If anybody is sick, they'll go and meet the person. That's how it was happening. William Simon, his head was inside box. He was still praying. Kathy, we go, they call it the Kathy technique too. Go and read about the revival. They named that technique after her name. When she see people with her, she will carry their leg. She must carry their leg. Whether it's paralyzed, she will carry it and keep on the ground. When she keeps it on the ground, the people will start walking. She will carry it, keep it in the name of Jesus. So people saw us that had their jaw. Go and read about the revival. Me, I don't lie with miracles. So. His jaw was, I don't know what condition is that. But have you seen somebody that had a big, you know, like fire burned them or something? Big like this, like a tumor or goiter. I don't know what to call it. So big, the man came. As he came, because they were hearing, you know, in the whiteboard, when they hear revival. I'll end with this Asbury revival that happened recently by a young man, young student playing guitar and singing in tongues. As they were singing, what happened? The recent revival in 2022, right? Are you here tonight? The man entered and a lady, a beautiful lady, as they wrote in the story, a wonderful beauty. He came to her. She saw it. She just closed her eyes, held his head in the name of Jesus. Before their eyes, the thing was folding. And they did not see one sign. Listen, people of God, I am not lying to you. It sounds too good to be true, but it happened in the Azusa Street revival. It was a revival that was supposed to prove the New Testament. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Remember, I told you how it metamorphosed. There was one, my God. I remember the one of the first time I saw that, I almost started crying. I think I cried. I had to start crying. I couldn't take it. You know, the movie is there. You can go and watch the movie. The Azusa Street revival. They acted the movie. The man came with withered hands. I think it was William Simon that did this. He came out from his box. They said he wouldn't speak. If he sees more than 20 people on wheelchair, on this thing, he'll just say, in the name of Jesus, you are all free. All of them will stand up and start going home. All of them were free. There was no hand. I'm not lying to you. But before I say that, let me say this. A woman entered a house and caught her husband with another woman on the bed. And the other woman was fighting the real wife. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And she now bite her hair off. Bite off her hair. And when blood was rushing, somebody told her, something is happening there. Rush there. She rushed to the Azusa Street Revival campground. With blood everywhere. So when she met this lady, a lady, because Simon's head was still under the box. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Nobody could touch him. Nobody could disturb him. He was just praying. The woman said, where is the ear? Can you bring it for us? She said, I don't know where the ear is. I did not take note of the ear on the ground. She said, okay, no problem. Put her hands on the blood. Put her hands by this ear. In the name of Jesus, fresh new ear appeared. Fresh. I'm not lying to you. Do you believe God is real?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe God is real?
Yes, sir.
This last one I'm about to say it. Media, put that scripture for me. We said it in the first day of the conference, withered hands. A man with withered hand entered. William Simon looked at the man, spoke to the hands. Before the eyes, everybody's eye was like this. Before their eyes, the hands was coming out. Fresh hands was coming out. When I heard that thing first time, I said it's a lie. I watched the movie. I still had to go for deep research to be sure this thing they said was fresh new hand. appeared. While I was yet trying to doubt, the Lord said, check the Bible. He entered into the synagogue again. And a man was there who had a what? They caught his hand. No hand. Mark 3:1. Next part of scripture. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on Sabbath day so that they might accuse him. Now, next part of scripture. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Step forward. Next part of scripture. Then he said to them, Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they kept silent. Next part of scripture. Watch carefully. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Where was the hand that he said stretch? And he stretched it out, and his hands was restored as whole as the other. This is a man with what? Withered hand. Abarika Bahai. What is cancer in the life of your father? Look at me, church. What is cancer in the life of your mother? Are you hearing me? What is that eye problem that is about to kill your father or to kill you? Many years ago, my wife came to this church. I didn't know she was my wife. She can bear witness to this testimony. I'm not lying. She had eyeglass. So jokingly, I hate to see young people with eyeglass. I don't know why God put that passion in me so strong. Everybody in my church with eyeglass, I always remove it. Or I pray for them and tell them to find a way to remove that thing. And I said to her, why are you with eyeglass? She said, it's a problem. Try tracing it to her mom and the rest. Like it's a cool thing. And I said, no. So the next time she came to church, I collected it. And I seized it. I think I broke it. I said, you are healed. She said, yes, pastor, sir. Went back home. That's the last day that eye problem ever happened to her today. Several miracles. God is doing it even here, right now. What is my emphasis tonight? We are New Testament people. He said, I will not put what? New wine. In what? Old wineskin. You know, the old wineskin can be tagged to a capacity that is subjected by sin. In the NIV rendition, 2 Timothy, in a great house, the Bible says, there are what? Several vessels. Some for normal use, some for what? Special purposes. He said, if a man purges himself of the latter, he becomes a vessel, what? Profitable for the master use. Somebody now said, pastor, how do we purge ourselves? 1 John 3. Very fast. Listen carefully. We have everything for what? Life. And what? Godliness. Follow carefully. 1 John 3. From verse 1. Everybody will read. It said, no one who lives. From verse 1. So what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be what? We'll read together with power, okay? And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they did not know him. In the NKJV, give me verse 2 in the NKJV. We'll continue with the NKJV. Now read verse 2. One to go. Beloved, now. When are we the children of God?
Now.
When?
Now.
When?
Now.
Continue. And it has not yet been what? What we shall be. Meaning we are children of God, oh. But come, Pastor Peter. If you're not wearing blazers, please come as a guy. Any guy not wearing blazers? Alright, thank you. Come like this. Come. I don't know why you had to pass there. Alright, be there. So let's take Pastor Peter for the standard of what a man should be. If you are a man, for instance, you should wear blazers. I'm not trying to talk down any man. For instance, are we together? Let's take for instance, if you are a Christian, climb up so that we'll see you well. I'm wondering whether everybody is seeing you. No, not you. Okay, you can be up too. So that there's equity. Now, let's say for instance that every Christian should wear what? Blazers. So Pastor Peter now is a Christian, but he's not a Christian, for example, because he's not wearing what? Blazers. Are you all listening to me? So now he is born again. And if you are truly born again, you should wear blazers. So imagine now he has a blazers, but he doesn't know that he has a blazers, because now he's born again. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If you are born again, you should have what? Now this man got born again. He has potentially what? Blazers. But kinetically is not in manifestation. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He said, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been what? Revealed what we shall be. What is the actuality of this man? What is this man supposed to be like? But right now, he has not seen this man to know that he's supposed to be like what? This man. He's just born again without revelation. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Born again without the revelation of who a born again person should be. So, we are now children of God, but it has not yet been revealed. The word revealed there is actually revealed as you know it. I've done the Greek before. What's the word? Phanero. To unravel something. It says, it has not been unraveled what we should be. But we know that when he is revealed, many will take it to be futuristic. It's not. The word there revealed is Tifanero. When he's unraveled to us, we shall be like him. For we shall what? See him as he is. To prove this scripture to you, give me 4:17. Let me just prove what I'm saying. Then you come back here with speed. If we'll be like him when he comes, then why did Paul, the same John, write this part of scripture to us? If you think it's futuristic. 1 John 4:17. Very fast media. 1 John 4:17. Let's read together. Love has been perfected among us. That we may what? Why? Are we already like him or we are going to be like him? Are you seeing that? Meaning God is saying when he comes, we will already be like him. And we saw it in 1 John 3:2. That what remained for this man right now is what? An unraveling. If he knows this man, his standard, then him too, he will discover that he has a what? A suit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Important. So take for instance now that he's born again, he's wearing a suit but he's not aware. Give him a suit. Somebody borrow him a suit very fast. He even has a suit. But he's not aware. Very perfect example. So he's wearing suit, but he's behaving like he doesn't have suit. You know that's how Satan comes to us, sees us powerful, but we're behaving like we're not powerful. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He's a child of God. He has a blazer, but it has not yet appeared. He has not seen this man, so he doesn't know that a child of God has a suit. Am I making sense? I know it's a funny example, but am I making sense to you people? Next part of scripture. Phanero. Everyone who has this hope, this blessed assurance in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. What is John saying? He said, if you know that you are like him, with this knowledge of you like him, purify yourself. With the knowledge of God's word, purify yourself. So now, you know you have blazers. The thing, maybe you could not jump before. Now that you have blazers, jump. You couldn't shout before because you didn't know you have blazers. Now that you have blazers, shout. You see, this is supposed to be for a man that has what? Blazers. But there was no revelation that he had blazers. But now that he has revelation, this revelation becomes his hope that he can do things. So Paul said, now I can do what? Paul never spoke like that until he had the revelation of Jesus. Then he said, now I can do all things. Now you can live above the addiction. Now you can live above failure. Now you can live above that low GB. Now you can live above fear. Now you can live above sickness. Because you just realize who you are in Christ. If anybody be in Christ, is a what? Are you seeing this? Very perfect. He said, if you purge yourself from the litter, you become a vessel profitable for the man. Now, how do you purge yourself? With the revelation of Jesus' word. In John 15, he said, I'm the vine. My father is a vine dresser. If any man is plucked to me, blah, blah, blah. He said, then I'll cut the branch. If you are producing fruit and I'll prune you, you produce more fruit. Then he turned to the 12. He said, for you are already pure because of my word that is in you. Because they have a revelation already. Jesus said, they are pure. The truth of God's word gets you pure. As you know now, you understand there's a potential difference. What you could not do before, you can now do. More like Paul, I can do all things. Unto him who can do exceedingly, abundantly, above. You know the Bible says we are a body full and flooded with God himself. God fool us like this. You know when you, have you seen those people that do things? You fool something, you now force it to close. Have you ever forced something to close? Back. Our mothers, when we are traveling, and you say the bag is not enough, they say, remove the cloth, let me fold it for you. And when they fold it, you are surprised they are like 2,000 clothes in one bag. They fold it and they force the zip. Verse 19, Amplified Rendition. Let's read together. Are you ready? Verse 19, the Amplified Rendition. And that you may come to know practically through what? Read out loud. The love of Christ. Which word? To all the fullness of God. So that. Completely. And what? With what? I'm filled and flooded with God Himself. Wow. I am a body filled, flooded. They say your body always wants you to see. No, my body is filled and flooded with God Himself. God is not wicked. Do I have witnesses here? God cannot be wicked to give you flesh and let the flesh be your enemy. God is not wicked. He's a good father. Every day we stand up, the flesh is the problem. God cannot give us a problem to be part of us. God is too good. Why? What does God delight in? Why would God give us a problem and be sitting somewhere and say, let me see those that will make heaven? No! Do you realize? I'm going to say this. The call of God for man. Look at the beginning. He told Adam, come to the edge. Reciprocate everything you are seeing in Eden to every part of the world. He taught them how to pray, the 12. Pray! Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, your will be done. As it is done where? He didn't teach them to pray to be escaped into heaven. He said, pray that you bring the influence of heaven and infiltrate the earth. Are you listening to me, people? Yes, God's vision for man is that through man, you will bring the influence of heaven to every sector of this world. So our job description does not end in church. We come to church, we take that fire from heaven. We take it into medicine. We take it into law. We take it into tech. Are you listening to me? We go there and we rule and reign there. With the fire of the Holy Ghost. Insisting on heaven's agenda. A point will come that 50 lecturers inside 51 are born again. Full of eternal life. Imagine BSU full of born again lecturers. Righteousness exalts. He said, but sin is a what? Imagine lecturers in BSU all full of the Holy Ghost. Which daughter will complain that somebody wants to steal from me, sleep with me for grade? But you see, one thing that I've been lying to church people is that they should be heaven conscious and forget about the earth. While we are being heaven conscious, some people are working hard. And when we graduate, we have second class lower and near escape from past degree. Then they have first class. They now retain them. We are now still working for them. But imagine that believers 100% become first class. When they become first class, they have no chance to get the job. Imagine that we are counting almost 50, 60, 70 lecturers in BSU and Uni Agri who are full of the Holy Ghost. Imagine how beautiful our state will be. Imagine how people, you know, they will have conscience. Are you listening to me? They have conscience. Making right decisions. People who read and want to come out with good grace. They know they cannot bend anybody. Men like Daniel lecturing. They can't bow to anything. That's why I was trying to put a balance yesterday. On one side, have excellence. On another side, be full of fire. Tell somebody, be full of fire. If Daniel did not have fire, they would have eaten him. Lion would have finished him. You that is just walking and saying, we don't need to go to church. What if they put you in lion's den and say, bow to our God? Say the truth. Will you bow or enter lion's den? If you don't have a secret place, you know as you are entering that lion's den, you will become Nama. But truly, if you had a secret place, look at Daniel. So excellent. Was a chairman over more than 10 kingdoms. They said, if we know what is good for us, let Daniel become our chairperson. He has more ideas than us. Please listen to me this wonderful evening. More ideas than us. And they chose Daniel. He was in charge. And some people plot Daniel. They say, "Oh king, this man does not respect you. Watch and see. As we bow to your God, he will not bow." And as they blew the trumpet, they sounded the trumpet, Daniel did not bow. The king called, "Daniel, come here. You're not bowing to my God." He said, "No, I don't bow to your God. I have my own God. He's the best with his own God." Do you people get what I'm trying to say? He's not from their land. He's from another land. Yet the best. And the king said, "Oh, you are disgracing me because of the public." He didn't want shame. He said, "Bow to me now, Daniel. Bow to them." Daniel said, "Oh, king, on this matter, we are not bending. If that guy had no fire, he would bend to keep his job. He probably has a family." Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He will bend to keep his job. The man said, "No, I have fire. I know whom I have believed. It is Daniel that wrote, 'They that know their God, they shall be what?'" It's the same man that wrote it. "And they shall do what? Exploit." So Daniel was prepared. He knew he was strong. He knew he would do exploit. It was same Daniel that read about Israel. They were in captivity. Daniel read about Israel. He saw the prophecy many, many years ago. He said, "God, you said this about Israel. It's time." I, Daniel, understood by books. When he understood, Daniel started praying. God, what you have said. God, what you have said about my city. God, what you have said. He didn't need prayer warriors. The only one. He prayed. It was Billy Akani that told us this word many years ago. He said, "Revival is not an event. Revival is a person." Daniel prayed. And when he prayed, something started shaking. Something started happening. Satan was hard on him. Satan entered everybody. They wanted Daniel down. And when they said, he said, "No, I'm not bowing." And the king said, put him in the lion's den. The lion had not eaten for many days. So, as a sign, so that they will be scared. Everybody will know the wrath of the king. Don't be scared. Daniel said, "No problem." Daniel went inside. You know what I love about the story? The king said, "Let me see if your God will save you." And as Daniel entered, everybody was watching and laughing. Daniel's, the lion, they were playing. The glory was revealed. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, it said, "The days will come where the lions and the lambs shall eat from the same." It said, "Man will be there just like Eden." That glory was revealed. And lion and man were playing. In that day, nothing happened to Daniel. The king came back. He couldn't believe it. Daniel turned a nation upside down. He turned a nation upside. He came out. He was still in charge. We can't help but leave this man to his God. The king had to bow to. What kind of a God is this? He said, "They that know their God, they shall be strong." See, this kind of thing, if you want to do it, you don't need any neighbor to advise you. You don't need advice. You on your own, you just sit down and say, "From today, I want to be excellent in this thing." And not just excellent, I'll be praying in the spirit. Should in case wicked men from this system will rise, I can be able to enter the lion's den and come back untouched. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Question is this: what did Daniel do to deserve death? How can somebody be so skillful? So skillful, useful to more than 10 nations. 10 nations need this guy. But they were not thinking twice to kill him because he would not bow to a God. Do you see how wicked humanity can be? Somebody that has solution for nations, they want to kill him. Why? One petty reason. He did not bow to a God. So your God is more important. Bowing to your God is more important than the civilization this man is about to bring. Now, hear me. You think you have something to offer. That's why you are important. With everything you have read and known, you are not important to Satan. No. As long as you are not bowing, get out. Daniel will not bow. Kill him. Forget the useless hard work. Kill him. But they that know their God. What saved Daniel was not the hard work. Are you listening to me? The skill, it's important. God will use it to lift you. What will keep you where God will lift you is not skill. Tell somebody it's fire. How about the three Hebrew boys? These guys were very respectful in the community, observing all the rules, and that's how every Christian should be. Observe the rules of every nation. Until one day the king said, "Bow to my God." They said, "No." When he shouted, they said, "Oh king, on this matter, we are not careful. We would gladly disrespect you." And the king, because of his pride, he said, "Make the fire 10 times hotter." The people that went to make the fire 10 times hotter were consumed by the fire. They died. They took these three Hebrew boys from far,
draw one, draw two.
Before they entered, to what they said to the king, O king, if we perish, let us perish. If our God cannot save us today, let it be said that we perish because we had faith in our God. This is how faith is. Faith is total reliance on God. Outside God, you have no option B. God is option A and option A. That's what we call faith. He's our source and sustainer. These guys went into that fire, and while they were laughing, they were shocked. People would be crying normally. These ones were not crying. They were praying. They were thanking God. And suddenly when they came to check in, there was a fourth man in the fire. They were amazed. A fourth man in the fire. God revealed himself in the dimension of a consuming fire. A fire that consumed literal fire. Neutralized the fire. And it was a very wonderful environment for the three boys. This is not a fairy tale. It was a real life story. It happened. Are you listening to me? New Testament Christian, are you hearing me tonight? God said if the first covenant was okay, there would have been no reason for another covenant. Something was wrong with the first covenant. And you see, if people are boasting in this generation with the first covenant and we are claiming we'll have the second covenant without result, something is wrong somewhere. It means we are not fitting properly in the second covenant. We are not fulfilling the rules properly in the second covenant. We are not getting it right somehow in the second covenant. No matter what, in through the Old Testament and New Testament, there's no question with sin. It doesn't matter the testament, whether old or new. One thing is sure, if God is involved, there can never be iniquity. There can never be iniquity. You know, the case in the New Testament is this. It is easier. Jesus said, I have not come to abolish, destroy the law. I have come to fulfill it. The word fulfill means, is chata in Greek. It means to fulfill the desire of the law and the prophet. What was their desire? Romans 8. It says from verse 1, there is now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. It said, because they don't walk after the flesh, but by the Spirit. In verse 2, he said, well, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from what? The law of sin. And verse 3, the focal point. He said, what the law could not do, in that it was weak because of the flesh, God did it. He destroyed sin. Even sin where? In the flesh. That's why grace came. The law could not achieve this. It could not destroy sin, even sin in the flesh. But grace destroyed it. Now, Romans 6 and 14. We will read out loud with a very loud voice. One, two, go. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not, but you are what? Seeing it now. If we are under grace, sin cannot have dominion. Yesterday we established the fact. We established the fact that the goal is the kingdom. The route to the kingdom is grace. God protocols us with the kingdom, washes us with his blood by reason of his death, burial, and resurrection, so that we are ushered into his kingdom as faithful citizens. Citizens that don't have probability of ever falling. In this kingdom, we don't sin. We only live right. Should I tell you the truth this evening, people of God? 1 John 3, if you are born of God, I want us to read together. With no fear, shout it out. 1 John 3 and 9. 1 John 3 and 9. Very fast. Very fast. Hallelujah to Jesus. We want to read. Whoever. One more time. Whoever. Why? For his sin remains sin. And he cannot sin because so I've been born of God. Fear not. Don't allow your past remind you that you cannot do it. You can do all things. See, don't be afraid. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Religion don't know God. Don't follow what they are telling you. Jesus came to his own received him not. When Jesus was saying this kind of thing, they drove him away. Are you greater than our father that told us otherwise? He left. They threw him away. In fact, they said, kill him. He's an antichrist. Kill him. His blood be upon us and our children. Religious blood is on you. I mean, Jesus' blood is on religion. They hate Jesus till date. When you come and say, I live above sin, you are a problem. they believe that Saturday should be for confession. Because they are very sure you will sin within the week. They are the ones that have slogans like this. A righteous man sins 7 times. I have no argument with nobody. Read the Bible and argue with it. And if you find yourself arguing with the same words of Jesus, you are an antichrist. You are religious. And if Jesus is in your days, you will join and say, kill him. Crucify him. You have to be careful. You know, one of the outstanding things that happened in the Azusa Street Revival, not even the Azusa Street Revival yet, let me talk about the Asbury Revival. People were coming from different denominations, different orthodox, and they were coming. Nobody was asking questions. One thing connected all of them, the presence of God. They entered such presence. They had their beds. Some went back home, far distant, carried their bed, baited, came there with soap and everything for almost 1 week, 2 weeks. They said the place is so comfortable. There's so much peace there. Sleeping in church, waking up, some are praying in the night, some are sleeping in the prayer. They were just enjoying themselves. Nobody asked them, what is your church? That's one thing with the presence of God. What is then the problem in the New Testament before we close? For we who say we are new creatures, the problem is this sin. In a great house, NIV rendition, give me that scripture. In Timothy, in a great house, there are several vessels. Several vessels. It's so obvious. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of what? Some are for what? Some are for what? Common use. How many of you want to be for common use here? Some are for special purpose. Some for common use. I know none of you want to be for common use in this place. None of you want to be for common. Next verse of scripture. It then says in verse 21, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be what? Made what? Useful to what? Prepare to do what? You see that? You want to be useful? Cleanse yourself. We said how to cleanse yourself. First John. He said, when you have this revelation, what do? You purge yourself, even as he is pure. Last part of scripture before we pray. The Bible said in the book of Romans 8 and 11, if the same spirit who has what? Say your body is not a problem. Except the word was made flesh, it was not able to dwell amongst men. And men were not able to what? See, behold the glory full of grace and truth. See, if the word is not made flesh, men will not see the glory. So you see, the flesh is not your enemy. It is part of God's plan for his glory to be revealed to creation. The word can only be translated as a reality when it walks on our flesh or through our flesh. So the flesh is not your enemy. If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, what will happen to your bodies? It will quicken your mortal bodies. Next part of scripture. Who are you? Because of what he has done, who are you? Therefore, brethren, we, say me, talk to your neighbor. We are what? Therefore, we are not owing somebody's money. We are owing God something. For what he has done, he has quickened our body. So he's insisting, if I've quickened your body, don't sin. I've done something on your inside, don't sin. When I give you a phone, I say, you cannot. I can't make a call. I say, take a phone. Make the call. Because you have the phone now, what? Make the call. Now that your body is quaking, what? Don't sin. God did not only tell us to stop sin. He did everything it would take for us to stop sin. See what the Bible says, Romans 6 and 6. We're not lying. Read out loud. Very fast. Very fast. Want to go? Knowing this. Are we slaves to sin? The body that can sin has been done away with. Have a new body. A quickened body. This body carries the life of God. It's new. Somebody said, but Simon, what do you mean by new? You mean I'll not see the wounds on my face? Jesus said, come, look at my finger. Is that not where they choke the nails? Look at it. Look at my legs. But no pain. You can see the trace of the mark of my past, but no effect on me. I may have smoked before. Look at my mouth. I truly smoke, but I don't smoke anymore. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? What makes the body new is the quickening of the Holy Spirit. You may still see those marks from the wound you had before, but the quickening of the Holy Spirit makes the body new. What you couldn't do before with that body, now you can do. You see the man that was smoking with his black lips, now he's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. You are wondering. He has stopped smoking, no evidence. Lips still black, but he's a new creation. I saw her yesterday on the street. We don't change with time, brother. How did she change? In 1 week. She changed in 1 week. She changed in 1 week as a man tinkered in his heart. Just remove that old software, put a new one. That's all. Dear beloved, I wish above all things that we will prosper and be in health, even as your soul. So you can never prosper beyond the prosperity of your soul. It's your thinking that makes you new, not time. As you are hearing the word of God now, something is happening to you. Your mind is getting renewed. And as a man thinketh in his heart, a revival has started. From your heart to the nations. Are you listening to me, people of God? We have been quickened. You can boldly say, see, God did not just make mouths. No. He know what he did. Look at verse 6, verse 7, I mean. Let's read. Verse 7. 1, 2, read. For he has been what? Shout it one more time. One more time, inside and outside. How many of you died with Christ? I have been freed. Past tense. I have been freed from sin. But pastor, I sinned so much time. The enemy has come, but to what? To what? And to what? Liar. He has been lying to you. But now that you have known the truth, this truth you've known will what? Make you free. Shout, I'm free.
I'm free.
But Simon, what do I do now that I know that I'm free? How do I stop the sin? I just told you are free. The one that has the power, had the power to make you sin, has been destroyed. Hebrews 2 and 14:15, I mean. Read out in as much. Verse 14, sorry. Want to read it? Satan does not have power. People of God, he doesn't have power. He had. Jesus said, now all power has been given to me in the heavens, on the earth, on that earth, in the clouds. He said, all of you, go and make people. You have no limitation. No limits. That is why I don't talk about Satan so much in this church. Some of you have been wondering, since he has not said anything about Satan. Satan is not a function in the glory. God is a light so shining. In God, there is no trace of darkness. Now, as you know this thing now, how can you have a bloodline issue? Is it possible? They say, why is this happening? He's connected to your great-grandmother. You are connected to Christ Jesus. You hail from Christ. Colossians 3:3 said, your life is hidden with Christ in God. He said, you are born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. You know, Paul was teaching the church one time. And when he heard people talking about witchcraft too much, he said, some of you that have knowledge, listen, the food given to idols, are they not supposed to be eaten by us? He said, the food given to idols, are we not supposed to sit down and eat it? A great man of God called Archbishop Bessie Idausa. They were offering food to idols. He was peeping somewhere from a fasting. You know, he saw how they kept, you know, those days they call, is it Mirinda? They call it that time. Something like that. They kept it with boiled yam and oil. And he was watching. When they sacrificed, they were happy and going home. Bessie Idausa watched them. While they left, he went there. Sat before the God. He said, if you can eat, come and join me. And he ate the food. Enjoyed himself. Drank the soft drink. When he finished, he left. He said he went and hid it again to see. When they came by in the evening, they were happy that their gods ate the food. You, they say, Azor spirits. Karadia kaparia kofoj. They say, Aleku. The Bible says, was it with Christ? Far! Let me do one thing. Come down. You are almost the same height. He said, O ye mountain that stand before Zerubbabel, you shall be brought low. Come here. Our Zerubbabel is not around. Let me use this too. Almost the same height. Who will be mountain? Mountain Zerubbabel. So mountain standing before Zerubbabel. Can we see Pastor Peter? He's covering. The mountain is covering me. It's very big. He said, O ye mountain that stand before Zerubbabel, you shall be brought low. God doesn't mean like this. He's too big. Nothing like that. Mountain, keep on standing. This is what God wants to do to us. He did not bring Satan down so that we have victory. He took us up. He said, we are seated together with Christ. From where we are now, this is low. It's more like, let me explain what I'm trying to say. How many of you have taken flights before? Don't lie. Don't lie. Have you taken flight before anybody? Oh my God, this church can lie. You can lie. You can lie. But God forgive your sins. Now, if you've taken flight before, you observe. And one time I was trying to go somewhere overseas, over any sea. Do you understand? So, as I was, I'll see my pastors over and see me over me. And somehow, when I took the flight, they were somewhere at the base waving. You know, I could see them through the window. They were waving. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for going. We're going to rest for some week. And I was hearing them in my spirit. They were excited. I was going, even though they were pretending. So I was going up. And as I went up, they were becoming smaller. But they were there. As I went up, they became what? But they were still there. I went to a certain point. I think I couldn't see anything. But they were still there. Did they leave that position? What happened to me? I went up to a point that when I look down, I can't see them. The Bible says we are seated far. From where we are, we can't notice Satan. Satan is around in the life of other people. But from where we are, we went up by revelation. Where we are up there, we don't notice him. So if I tell you that there is no Satan in my world, I'm not being proud. I'm speaking from where I am. Listen, God did not create us to fight Satan. Imagine Adam never made a mistake. What will you preach in church? Imagine Adam never disobeyed God. What will you preach in church? Will you preach bloodline? Demon from father's side? With what Jesus has done, do we preach those kind of things? No. The only thing that time I talk about Satan is in terms of specimen. How many of you have ever seen any specimen that hurt somebody here? Specimen B, specimen D, biology, practicals. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Ladies who are scared of rats can even play with rats in the lab. That's what we're talking about. When we're talking about Satan in church, he's a toothless. Oh, death, where is thy stink? No teeth, toothless snake. No effect. Good as dead. Are you listening to me? Useless. We just say, you know, that's specimen D. That time he had power. Before now, he has no power. That's how we talk about Satan. I'm not announced. Now, listen to my own version. I've come to announce to you. Satan is not powerful. That's my announcement. Satan is useless. Are you seeing it with your two korokoro eye now? If you go home now, don't pray against Satan. Thank God that Satan does not have mind to come close to you. Father, I thank you because they did not burn Satan away. I thank you, Jesus, because they're not born in Papa way. Lord, forgive my talk, but they did not burn him well. Regai. You imagine him close. You now start asking yourself in the prayer. How? Where? Something about to happen to us. The common denominator called prayer. Just like we saw the Azusa Street revival. They wanted, what did they do? They prayed. John Wesley understood grace. What did he do? He prayed. He broke out. For every move of God to break out, even this New Testament revelation, there needs to be an altar of prayer that must be raised. It has to be raised. We must pray. Lord, what you have said, we insist. You heard about William Seymour. 2.5 hours every day, head inside a cupboard. Yeah, Papa. That prayer they were insulting him for. You can imagine. Get out from our church. Useless doctrine. The shame. He couldn't bear it. He said, if what I've seen is true, prove it. The man cared less about manifestation. Read about that revival. His members were healing the sick. His head was inside the box. People outside will say, they say fire will rise from the earth. Another one will come from heaven. They will hit and disperse. Time numerous miracles because a man was praying. Lord, I've seen this thing. I'm walking out this salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not just a hearer. I want to become a doer of the word. Are you listening to me tonight? Do we have people who are ready to pray tonight? That God Almighty of heaven and earth, we will sow the seed of prayer this time. It may be hard. We are young. And it's the best time to sow that seed. Is somebody here tonight? You want to enjoy your life? A point where they say your mother just had stroke. You say, come mommy, in the name of Jesus. Go.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.